In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin our service this evening in opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we wish to thank you for another day of grace. We humbly thank you for all the blessings you have given unto us as we have traveled here upon this earth. So many wonderful things you have done for us, and we do not recall them all. But we humbly wish to thank you for everything you have done for us. We ask this evening, dear Father, that you would again come to be with us through your Spirit, that you would open your Word and feed us of that bread that can nourish our undying souls. We pray on behalf of those that are struggling with the temporal things of this life, that you would continue to give them this knowledge and assurance that if they can remain believing upon the merit work of your Son, that one day when you bring us to heaven, there will be no more trials, there will be no more difficulties, no temptations or sin. We yet turn to thee, dear Father, with that prayer that we have been taught by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. This evening we will pause before God's Word. It's a little bit lengthy text, but it is one of the texts that has been set aside for this Sunday, and it's a very familiar text to each one of us, I'm guessing. And we will read with that prayer that if it would be God's will to give up his word, that we could receive that word into our hearts for the strengthening of our faith and for the honor and glory of our Heavenly Father. The words of God are found in the third verse of the Gospel according to St. John. We will read the first 15 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Before we go into the consideration of this text this evening, I want to, before I forget, deliver the greetings of God's love and peace from Stony Lake Camp, where my wife and I were this weekend. We were gathered together with some mothers and daughters to speak of the way and the journey, and it was uplifting for us to be there. But the mothers and daughters there wanted me to bring greetings here to you, and it is with joy that I deliver these greetings of God's love and peace. The theme for this Sunday, and I'm sure you heard through our dear brother this morning, is speaks unto us of a hidden God. We can look around us in nature and see the evidence of God. Although everybody doesn't recognize it to be such. But we as believers, we understand that everything we see in nature and every living thing and every thing that's not living was created by God. And our evidence is God's word. The other people of this world, they have other theories that we don't really need to get into because they're lies. But they have no evidence of how they think this world came to be. And so we could say they have no evidence, but they place their faith in theory of man. The believers trust in God, and they trust in His Word. The man that we heard about in our text was a ruler in Egypt. He was on that council, that high council. The Bible speaks of him in three different instances, I think, if I remember right. This is the first instance that his name is used in the scriptures, at least as far as I'm aware of. And he obviously had heard of Jesus, and he had heard his preaching, and quite possibly he had seen the miracles that Jesus performed. And it's evident in reading this portion of God's Word that he wanted an opportunity to speak to Jesus. And he came to Jesus that night, as we have read here in this text. And I'm not certain why he came to Jesus that night, if he was maybe ashamed to be in the company of Jesus, that one whom the other members of that council had not much respect for. And maybe he was trying to protect his position here in this life. But we can recognize that he understood that Jesus wasn't just the normal man. As he addressed Jesus, he spoke to him as a master. So he had some understanding, we could say, some carnal understanding of this man and the things he had done. He couldn't explain them. And so maybe he came to Jesus that night for that reason, that he wanted to protect his position in this life and he didn't want the other people to see that he was visiting with Jesus, or maybe he thought that if it would be nighttime he wouldn't be so busy. I don't really know, but part of me tells me that he probably valued his position here in this life. There was a exercise we did at camp, and there's been similar exercises done in to explain relative to something that we believe. And at camp we had this little activity where we blindfolded the children, and we were in the main building there at camp. And then we led them on a course around the camp. But part of the exercise was this, that the mothers had to guide their children, but they couldn't use their hands to guide them. They could only use their voice. And as I observed the children going about in that exercise, one thing that was evident to me as I watched this take place was that when there was two sisters together, a young one and an older one, the mother was oftentimes using this type of language to turn right or turn left. And the young ones didn't understand it. They didn't know which way to go. So the older sibling would take their hand. And it was noticeably different, even for the older one, when they took the hand of even that younger one, their walk became more steady. It gave them some confidence in their walk. And so the mother would tell them, okay, there's some rocks coming up in another step. You be careful so you don't trip. And so we went on this little course around the camp there, and then we ended at a table. And I told them, the students, before we went on the little exercise, that if you don't give up before we get to the place where we're going to go, then there will be a treat waiting for you. And we use it for this kind of an idea, that we as the children of God cannot see heaven. So how are we going to get to heaven if we can't see it? And so I used it for that type of a picture, that we are God's children. Even as the daughters that were there at camp, they had a mother. And it says that when you're walking now, you're going to have to pay attention, because there's other mothers and they're guiding their children and they're close to you. So you're going to have to listen for the voice of your mother. Otherwise, you're going to get confused. And so I hope you know the voice of your mother. And so there is many parallels we could gather from that little exercise about us as believers in God's kingdom. This text, which we have read this afternoon or evening, speaks unto us about being born again, being born of a spiritual mother. We all have natural mothers. And I would guess every person here in this assembly this evening would recognize the voice of your mother. Even you old grandmothers and grandfathers that are here, that your mother has long since gone away from this place. But I'm sure if she came to speak to you, would recognize her voice. And so we are God's children, and we recognize the voice of God's Spirit that dwells in the kingdom of God. And we also recognize if there's another voice that's not God's voice, does not come from the Spirit of God. And so we can say as we travel towards heaven, there's the voice of the Mother, the Kingdom of God, that wants us to guide us to heaven. We cannot get there on our own. Even as those students there in that little exercise, they wouldn't have made it on that course without the aid of their mother. They had to listen. And so what does God's words tell us about listening? It says that faith cometh by hearing. It's a very important matter for us as God's children, that we come to the hearing of God's word, where the mother can speak unto us of the dangers that are around us. It could speak unto us an encouraging news that you need to continue a few more steps, perhaps. And it also gives us that kind of message that you can be forgiven. Maybe you didn't listen to the mother, and the mother was telling you to go right, and you went left, and you ran into a tree. Or whatever it was, there was some harm there when you didn't listen to the mother. The mother was telling you what to do, and you went the opposite way. The mother was trying to guide you around some obstacle, and you weren't listening very closely. So we can never blame the mother for our sin. When we sin, we can only look within our own heart and realize what we really are. We're very corrupt beings. But we are as God made us. We're God's children. And to God, we have much value. Such value that He didn't even withhold His only Son in your behalf. He made a way to heaven that was perfect and pure. It wasn't dependent on you. Such a simple way. It's often very difficult for these minds that God has given us for this life. We know our minds have our blessings from God. The reason and our senses and all those things that God has given unto us are blessings. They help us to function here in this world. But when it comes to believing, we need faith. That's where reason ends and faith begins. We know if we can trust our mother, it's never going to lead us into wrong doctrine. The spiritual mother. It's never going to lead us into sin and heresy. It's always going to warn us about danger. That was the picture that we hoped to portray in that exercise at camp. When we reached the table where that exercise ended, I asked those children that, did you know where you were? Many of them, because we brought them in a circle and went around and around, and they said, it seemed like we went around in circles. I said, we did. But it's also another picture for us. Sometimes we need to circle around and come back to that secure place where we left. We went a different way, and we circled around and got back on the right track. Through the preaching of the gospel, we were again set on that right way to heaven. This portion of God's word, which we have read this evening, speaks about Nicodemus, as we have already mentioned. He came to Jesus and he told Jesus, he says, verily, verily, or he says that, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he had this acknowledgement. He had his mind to, to tell him, and his own reason even to tell him that these things were, he couldn't explain them. Even as, you know, people of this world, they can't use their reason to explain the Word of God. We can't use our reason to explain it either, our carnal reason. But God has given us another reason, perhaps we could call it, and I don't know that it's the correct term, but he's given us the mind of Christ to understand by faith some matters that pertain to the kingdom of God. And so Jesus told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So as we already mentioned, that the kingdom of God is a hidden. God is hidden. The Bible says that there's no man that has seen God. We haven't seen God. But we can look around and we can look out the windows and see some of the things that God has made. So we can see that that God has shown his majesty to us. And then Nicodemus asked this question, which we have heard many times before, that how can a man that is old be born? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So with his carnal reason, he understood this matter, that he was an older man, that it wasn't possible for him to obviously enter into his mother's womb. And Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So it's, in other words, Jesus is telling him, it's not through your reason or your understanding or your knowledge or your wisdom that you're going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not possible for a man to decide on his own that I'm going to go into the kingdom of God. God must first call him. And we know that we're just fortunate people that we can be believers today. On no part of our own can we say that I have chosen to be a child of God. But we, through the Spirit of God, have been able to, I don't really know how to say this, that we have endeavored to be obedient to God's Word. And when sin has overtaken us on this journey of faith, we have understood matters through faith that we must put sin away. Because sin, unforgiven sin, destroys that faith that we have in God. And so Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So in other words, he's telling this man that he must repent of sin in order to come into the kingdom of God. There's not another way. But it's only through repentance and the forgiveness of sins, that those sins are washed away through the name and blood of Jesus, that pure water washes sin away. Jesus goes on to say that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So even these understandings that we have in God's kingdom, they're given to us by the Spirit of God. We can't even take the credit for those things that we might understand here about God's kingdom. Those things are given to us by the Spirit of God. One of the things that we talked about at camp this past week, and among the many things that was refreshing to visit about, as the Bible says, that Jesus gives us a peace that's different than the peace that the world gives. There's apparently two different types of peace. At least that's what Jesus has told us. And it was kind of an alarming thing for me when one that I know closely had given up the way of faith, or had realized that they no longer believed. I don't know when they actually lost faith, but at some point they realized they no longer believed. But when I visited with this person, they had told me that, "Well, I'm at peace." And it didn't make any sense to me that how could somebody that has gone into the world be at peace? When I feel peace, I feel peace here in God's kingdom. But it's, as the Bible says, that Jesus says, maybe we could read here. I think it's from the 14th chapter of John. From the 27th verse of the 14th chapter, it says in this way, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus is speaking about the peace that he gives, and then he speaks about another type of peace that the world gives. And so as I was speaking to this one that had lost the way to heaven, they had said that they're at peace. They had no need to speak of repentance. And it troubled me that how could they, who at one point was a believer, endeavoring on the way of faith, give up that battle of faith and then feel peace? But we can even look at it in this from this way, that when you're battling, as we understand, that the way of faith is a battle. It's an endeavor. And it's tiring sometimes because the devil is so relentless against us. And sometimes he works in our mind, and especially when we're alone and we don't have us other believers close by to encourage us and visit with. The devil comes to us in our minds and he starts to cause havoc, maybe we could say. And we're battling against them and we get tired. And so it is that it's, we could say on one hand we're at peace with God. We're not at peace with the world, we're not at peace with the devil. He's our enemy. And as we discussed in that little activity at camp, that if you give up on the way, if it becomes too difficult and you just give up and you don't make it to the end, you won't receive the promise. It's the same way for us today in God's kingdom. We need to make it to the end. That's when we receive the promise of God in heaven, everlasting life. That's our reward. And so I understood this even a little bit better when I looked at that portion of God's word, and Jesus says, "The peace I give unto you is different than the peace that the world gives. It's a peace with God." We're not battling against God. We're battling against sin in this world. We're not battling against, even against people of this world. We're battling against sin of this world. But if you surrender that battle, then you're no longer battling. So I suppose you could say you surrendered, so there's no longer a battle. So I suppose that's the kind of peace that they refer to, not knowing what that stems from. Because if you no longer have faith, and you can no longer even understand these matters of faith. Jesus goes on, he says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." When I read this verse, it kind of tells me that when somebody asks you that, well, where did you get that Spirit? What can you explain? How can you explain? How did you receive it? Through repentance. You gave something, you put something away, some corruption and some sin and defilement, and in that place God gave you something, the Spirit. It doesn't make much sense to our minds, but we believe it and we can feel it, and it guides us and it unites us together as God's children. And there was another slide that we used there at camp, and it was a picture of two yokes. A yoke of oxen. And they were tied together by a yoke. And that's a picture for us that we're tied together as God's children going forward in this life. And the yoke, Jesus says, that take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Lord Jesus, through the Spirit of God, unites us as God's children. He's that yoke that binds us together. So then Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" I'm sure you're not much different than I am. And we've discussed matters with those of this world and they just don't understand. And we wish we could make them understand, but we cannot. All we can do is preach those words that God gives us for those times in our life. And if God so opens their understanding, that's for Him to decide. We don't have that power to do that. We're only doing what Jesus has asked us to do. And Jesus says, even if you do all that I ask you to do, just simply say that we are unprofitable servants. We've only done that. We've only done that what we've been asked to do. There's no glory for us or honor for us. It's a good matter for you and I, dear brothers and sisters, that God can just look at us and look at us as His children. That's all we want and that's all we need. We just want to make it to heaven. And so it is, sometimes we struggle trying to explain some matters of living faith, but we understand that the mind of man cannot understand them, the things of faith. But the mind of Christ can understand it, and that's a gift that God has given you, that you can understand. You can even understand this matter so simply this evening. Jesus was born into this world. He suffered and died so that you can have a living hope of going to heaven when you die. That's a gift of faith. And we can understand that matter, that God loves you just as you are. Oftentimes it seems like we should make improvements on what we are. And dear brothers and sisters, it's important that when we're living in sin that we put that sin away. But that doesn't make us better. That just purifies that place where the Spirit of God rests. So it will want to stay there and guide you and protect your soul into the way, on the way to heaven. So this evening, dear brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you with that same message that you've been encouraged by many times before. You can uplift your hearts to God this evening and receive the message of the gospel into your heart. You can believe, just as you are, all of your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, and holy atonement blood. And that's the message that I wish to hear from my own portion this evening. Will you forgive me? Can I believe my sins forgiven? Our text continues. Jesus says, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness." We can't help it if somebody doesn't believe what we believe. We can only speak those things that God has revealed us unto us. Jesus goes on to say that if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus was telling this man of his day, who understood the Old Testament writings, or he had some knowledge of them, about this serpent in the wilderness. And we remember from that serpent in the wilderness, there was a plague in the land, or among the nation, the children of Israel, as they traveled about in the wilderness. There were serpents that came and they bit the people because they had become disgruntled and against God and began to murmur against God and the teachings of his kingdom. So God sent these serpents there into their midst and they bit the people. And they cried out to God and to Moses. And Moses, on behalf of the people, prayed to God. And God told Moses to make this brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And every man that is bit by that serpent, when he gazes upon that pole, would be healed of that bite from the serpent. And so it is a picture for us, dear brothers and sisters, of our endeavor of faith today. The serpent oftentimes bites us. And it's important, though, that we don't begin to murmur against the kingdom of God and the teachings of God's kingdom. It's like a plague. But even as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and by faith the people looked at that, trusting that that plague would be removed. So we have that same type of trust in the gospel. Jesus was lifted up as he told Nicodemus that he'll be lifted up on that pole in the days to come. And when you look at that pole believing, your sins are forgiven, you'll be members of God's kingdom. You'll have peace in your heart. So this evening, dear brothers and sisters, you can look upon the merit work of Jesus Christ this evening as your salvation, so securely believing that all of your sins have been atoned for and they're all forgiven this evening in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. Be confident, be joyful. We're in a good place, we're in a good kingdom that if we can remain here in this kingdom of God, the mother of God's children, it's like that vessel that will deliver us to heaven. We cannot reach heaven on the outside of this kingdom of God. Even as Moses, Noah in his day, there was nobody that was saved on the outside of that ark. But those that believed, they entered into that ark, believing that they would be saved. And they were saved. So it is for us that we believe if we can remain as God's children, dwelling on the inside of God's kingdom, we will make it to heaven. So securely believe this evening, dear brothers and sisters. Do not doubt and do not worry, but uplift your hearts and believe. All sins have been atoned for and they are forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this evening in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.